building every Sunday we read Galatians 2 and 20. And that's my prayer, is that you strive every day to live a crucified life. And so let's read Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today across the building. We want to welcome each and every one here today. And if you're a visitor here for the first time, we want to welcome you here. We're like family here. And so it is good that we can just come together as a body of believers, and that we can go into God's Word, and that we can begin to take food for thought, and that we can take the Word and not just be hearers of the Word of God, but we can be doers of the Word of God. And so that is so important, that we take what we hear and then we apply it to our hearts and lives. So if you have your Bibles today, I'm doing a series, and I've been on this for a little while. And if you missed the series, you can actually, and those that are watching us live today, we want to thank you for clicking in today to us. My prayers are something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. But we're doing a series called Slavery to Freedom series, and this is sermon number 7. And if you've missed it, you can go back to our website, to www.vsclexon.org, click into the media area, and you can see the sermons that I've already preached on slavery to freedom. And the title of my message today is this, through Slavery to Freedom series, is A Day of Deliverance. A Day of Deliverance. So we have been studying through the book of Exodus. And we have been seeing where that God has called Moses. We see that God has spoken to Aaron. And we see that God is wanting His people to exit out, as we see the word Exodus, meaning exiting out, and we see where Moses has gone to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. God's people need to be let go, and they need to be out of your hands and in God's hands. And so it comes to the day, as we look at this, if you would, go with me to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, beginning with the first verse. We're in Exodus 12 and 1. Excuse me. The day of deliverance. We're going to be looking at this real closely here. Exodus 12 and 1. Now here we see a little bit, and I want to set this a little bit as we go into this study here in Exodus 12 and 1. We see some planning to kill is taking place. In this chapter of Exodus, we see that God is set to follow through with His promise of killing every firstborn of the Egyptian child, and even all the firstborn princesses, the baby cows, and were included in this slaughter in order to avoid this judgment that was about to come across this land. And God told the Israelites through Moses to cover their doorpost with the blood of the sacrificed lamb. And so we see here a little bit of the introduction of the Passover. And this is where the Passover has come from. But in this process, God is about to bring destruction to Pharaoh and the people in Egypt, and the only way that God's people could survive this and go through this is there had to be a blood sacrifice, and the blood had to be put over the doorpost and down the side of the door so that when the Lord came through, He would pass over them, because the blood has been applied to God's people at the doorpost, but those that did not have blood, they were taking away. God would come in and take them away. And so God gives very explicit instructions on how the lamb must be chosen and cooked. For one thing, it must be roasted and eaten before the morning. And they also had to put some of the blood from the lamb on the doorpost. This is the act that God said would save them from having their children involved within this slaughter that was about to take place and their house destroyed. God also instructed them to eat unleavened bread or bread that did not have any yeast. And he told them to eat with sandals on and a staff in their hand. And so I want you to know today, as we look at this of the day of deliverance, as God said to them, I'm needing you to place a sacrifice. I'm needing you to place the blood on the doorpost. This also reminds me of the blood of Jesus Christ, how he bled and died on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago, that you and I may have life and have more abundantly. We see that the ultimate, the greatest sacrifice of ever is when God the Father sent his Son on a cross to be nailed to a tree. And the ultimate sacrifice was for you and I and our sins to be given forevermore. In other words, there was living hope in you and I as there are living hope in us today through the Son, Jesus Christ. And we see this as Passover began to take place. There was a mass exodus from Egypt begin to take place. Pharaoh ordered all the Israelites to leave their home in the land of Egypt as soon as possible. And even in Exodus 12, it states that over 600,000 men and women and children migrated out of Egypt that very night. Can you imagine 600 leaving that night after leaving there for 430 years? Folks, I want you to know it was generation after generation after generation that had passed away, but 430 years in slavery, and yet they were getting ready to make a massive exodus. The people of Israel left so quickly that the bread that was cooking in the oven did not even have time to rise because it became so swift for them to get out. You know, I look at this today and I think, look at all the things that you and I have gone through, and you and I have gone, are going through some things even today. And it's amazing, sometimes we want to say, God, when will this ever end? God, when will this ever end? The things that I'm going through, it seems like I make one step forward and three steps back. And you're saying, Lord, how much more can I handle? Or how much more will you put on me? How much more do I have to go through? But I'm reminded in God's Word that God says He'll put no more on us than we can bear, but He'll make a wave and escape in our hearts and life. And for the 430 years, don't take note on this, that God was not a God that just ignored it. God was not a God that forgot about it. God was not a God that said, oh, well, God knew even in 430 years of their captivity, God knew that this time and this moment was going to take place. Even though Pharaoh was doing everything he possibly could, even though he went through all of the plagues, yet God knew that his people would be delivered. And I want to share with you today that God is with us today, and he will deliver his people. He will continue to keep his hand upon you. He will continue to guide you. He'll continue to direct you. He will continue to lead you if you will allow him to be God in your heart and in your life. Yet we see the heart of Exodus taking place. Moses, as we see in the book of Exodus, was at the burning bush looking to this day. Remember, God spoke to him at a burning bush, a bush that would never burn. But he said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on your own holy ground. And God was speaking to him. Even when Moses was running from God, God says, I'm not through with you yet. And yet God knew at this moment and in time. And yet we see the meetings with Pharaoh that leads up to this day. Remember, God said, told Moses, Moses, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But by the way, I want to let you know I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to budge. But don't be discouraged because I'm still God. I'm still going to move in a mighty way. And yet the important day of deliverance, as we see even for the Jews, was the Passover. For Christians, it's a type of sacrifice of Calvary that Jesus has bled and died for us. I see where one has said, D.L. Moody once said, one of the most important chapters in the Bible was clearly the sacrifice that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. And yet pleading, and yet plagues failed, yet there was deliverance must come by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God today that is the blood of Jesus can be applied to our hearts and our lives, and that we can understand that the blood of Calvary is what cleanses us, it washes us, it saves us. All sin has been placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate sacrifice has been placed so that you and I can live forevermore. My first point today is this: the first of the months begin to take place. In Exodus 12 and 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. In other words, deliverance by blood to mark a new beginning. There's a new beginning that's taking place, a day of deliverance. It's a new dawn, new dawn. It's a new way. It's a new path. In other words, they're not to look back, but they're to look forward. Folks, I want you to know today, we're not to look back at the past. The past has already gone. The past is the past. There's nothing you can do about tomorrow. There's nothing you could have done last week or last month. You can't change that. Only thing that you can do now is look to the future. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've always said and will say it again, it is never for us to look with the natural eye, but it's to look within the heart of ourselves and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to lead us, to help us, to direct us, to bring us to where we need to be, not where we want to go. I want you to know today that the years in Egypt would not count anymore. F.B. Myers writes this. He says, our life before conversion is not reckoned with God. Our life before conversion is not reckoned with God. If you are not living for Christ, I want you to know today you're wasting your time. If you're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing to live for if you're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have everything when you have Christ. Because if you got Christ in your heart and your life, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's where my sister is today. She's been absent from the body, but now she is present with the Lord, because now she is with her Lord and Savior. She sung about it, as you've heard me say. She's talked about it for so many years. And so now she's living out in heaven what she had talked about, what she had prayed about, what she had shared about. You know, it was while she was down at MUSC and we had had her at the hospital, she was always talking to the doctors and the nurses about how good God is. And one day I was in the room and she was lifting up her hands in the bed, praising the Lord. And while she was doing that, the nurses came in and said, Miss Sloan, are you needing anything? And she says, no, I'm just praising the Lord. And she had two more days to live, and she was going to exit out of this life, but She was just, you know, praising the Lord. And so, you know, it's something about having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something about knowing that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you find comfort in Jesus. And to know that, yes, we live in this life and we have family and we have friends and that's great and that's fine. But we know that this is not our permanent home. We're just like pilgrims. We're passing through, you know. This is not our full home here, because we know that heaven is our home, because Jesus is preparing a place for those that have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. You know, the cry of many hearts, if only I could begin again. We begin again through a new birth when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. John 3:3 says this, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus was a great teacher, a great theologian. He was great in everything that he did. But Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be, Jesus? Jesus said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know the things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. And if have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended to the heavens but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so as must be the Son of Man be lifted up. And that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this was one here that thought that Jesus was a good man, that he knew a lot, that he talked a lot. But he really did not know Jesus personally. And Jesus was telling him, Nicodemus, you must have a personal relationship. You see, we can read about a lot of things. We can hear about a lot of things. People can say a lot of things. But when we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he wants for our hearts and our lives, is that he wants to be personal to you and I. My second point today is this, is there's faith in the blood of the Lamb. There's faith in the blood of the Lamb. We see this clearly as God began to speak to Moses in Exodus 12:3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the numbers of the persons. And according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood, and here's where it comes from, and you will put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. So here God instructs once again that there has to be a sacrifice. Blood has to be shed. This is what was required. This was God's law. This was what thus saith the Lord. But thanks be to the Lamb of God that no longer do we have to kill a goat or a lamb. No longer do we have to go through the priest, because Jesus Christ is our high priest. And now we can come boldly before His throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, and to no longer do we have to go through sacrifice. I was looking at this and studying over this. The priest, the pastor, had a lot to do with killing. It was a bloody mess for a priest to have to kill and to slaughter animals. But this was a requirement that had to be done, that the priest had to do. He had to offer up the atonement of sins every year before the people, because there was sin all through their life, and he had to bring a sacrifice before the Lord every year. It was a bloody mess. They almost just slaughtered all the time, because after so many days and after so many weeks, the Jewish customs and God's law required it, as we see it in the Levitical law and how we see it through the books of Leviticus, how that each thing began to take place. I mean, it was bloody. The temple was bloody because so much sacrifice had to go on. I don't even know if my stomach would be able to handle it. I'm very queasy when it comes to blood. So I don't think I could even be able to handle that. But thank God, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice when God says, no more bleeding, no more shedding. When He said, I'm sending my Son on Calvary's cross, and the blood that will be shed will be one and only, so that you and I will never have to sacrifice a lamb. We'll never have to sacrifice a goat. We'll never have to do that, because God allowed Jesus to pay the price for you and I. You see, deliverance from death depends on the blood of the Lamb. Listen to me. Deliverance from death depends on the blood of the Lamb. The choice of the Lamb. We see this clearly as a male of the first year, a perfect animal without a blemish. We see in 1 Peter 1 and 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. So we see that the ultimate sacrifice was through the Lord Jesus Christ, that man had nothing to do with it. There's no corruption with that. That God the Father sent His Son, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, to be born into this world. Jesus Christ was born, and He was born to die for you and I today. You see, Christ becomes the perfect one. In Hebrews 7 and 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Yet God allowed His Son to be human, just like you and me. He felt pain. He was hungry. He went through temptation. He went through trials. See, He's moved by our infirmities. He's moved by you and I and the things we go through. He relates to you and I. I want you to know today, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that relates to you every day. It is not a God up in the heavens with a big billy bat ready to knock you out because you have done this and you have done that and you can't do this and you can't do that. No, God has sent His Son. that through the sins of that we deal with every day, He is the one that saves us from our sins. He is the one that is moved by what you and I go through. Christ is not just the perfect one, but Christ is the Lamb of God. John 1 and 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He saw Jesus and knew that it was not about him. It was only him as a messenger giving the message, but it was not about him. That he saw the one, the Lamb of God, coming and knew that he was not even worthy to latch his sandals, but he knew that there was a God that was coming greater than he would ever be, because he would be the one that would save the world. That's the Lamb of God. Yet we see the Lamb in heaven in Revelations 5 and 8. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each having a harp, a golden bowls for full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So we see from the very beginning that we see the Lamb. And we see the Lamb all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and we still see that Jesus Christ is the ultimate Lamb. The whole assembling shall kill it, as the Bible says in Exodus, one lamb in God's sight, striking the blood on the doorposts. As we see hyssop, which was a type of grass that was dipped to use to wipe, the most common of plants, speaks of a simple faith. The two side posts was the upper for God, the side for man. The sides for man. Yet there was the picture of the cross. If you see it above it, and you put blood across the head of the door, and you see it down the sides as well, was the protection of God's blood placed upon that home. And this would secure safely for the firstborn of Israel. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Exodus 12 and 13. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you were, where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Third in my point today and in my closing, feeding on the Lamb. The Bible says that they begin to cook the flesh, roasted on fire with unleavened bread, and how they begin to go through all of this as God began to instruct. And the Bible says that God says, "This will be the Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. The blood of the Lamb for safety. The meat of the Lamb will be for strength." And how they were to eat the Lamb, roast with fire, means the judgment of the cross. With unleavened bread represents Christ in His purity. With bitter herbs means the suffering of Christ. With loins girded is ready to go, ready to serve. And with a staff in hand means that pilgrims are here below. And with the shoes on their feet, they were ready to walk in strength. It's something about being prepared. It's something about knowing. The old cliche would say, "Have you got all your ducks in a row?" It's something about knowing that everything is well with your soul, that everything is being prepared and ready to go. My sister, for example, was getting ready to leave this life. She had rehearsed it in her mind, and And I would see her laying there in the bed, and she was looking around and looking at me and just looking. And I know she was thinking. And I would always ask her, I said, "Sis," I said, "what are you thinking?" Sometimes she'd tell me, sometimes she wouldn't. But I knew her mind. I knew she was thinking when she started looking around. You know, and the thing of it was, when the doctor said, "Rhonda, we have done everything that we know to do." And she had more against her than she had for. And I had talked to the doctors privately, and they had told me about my sister's condition. And it was really worse than I really could imagine. And with COVID on top of that, that didn't help either on that as well. And he said, "We can prolong her life, but that's all we're going to be able to do. There's not going to be any quality of life." And I said, well, she's coherent. She can hear you say this. I think you need to let her know that. I said, I don't want to make that decision. I want her to make that decision. And so the team of doctors went in there and explained it to her. And she said, "Okay, I understand." And the doctor, before her making that final decision, he said, let's give it 24 hours, and then we'll see where we're at. And she said, "Fair enough." So the 24 hours came, and we were on our way to the hospital at MUSC in Charleston, and the nurse called and said, "Listen, she wants the family to come in." And I said, "Okay, we're on our way." And so we went. And so we were there, and she had said all that she wanted to say to us. And so she said, I'm ready to exit out of this life. And so she said, "It's well with my soul." And so they started the morphine drip, and it wasn't but 4 hours, and she slipped right out with no pain. But I say all that to say this: she was ready to die. She was ready to go. Sometimes we don't have that opportunity. Sometimes a car accident takes us out immediately. Sometimes things take us out immediately. This was a slow thing that went on. But the main point is that we need to be prepared, and we need to be ready should the Lord call us today. Should this be our last service? And I've always said that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. But we are to live our life as if it was our last day, because we don't know. But I am reminded that provision in Christ and His death is for us all. For forgiveness of our sins, for justification takes place through the Lord Jesus Christ, and for our overcoming in daily life, it is through Jesus that helps us. Jesus is all that you and I need. We don't need anything else, because Jesus is all that we need. We came in this world, the Bible says, we came in this world with nothing. And guess what? We'll leave this world with nothing. Everything that you've got, everything that that you have, everything that you have achieved, it's all going to stay right here. Or it's going to go in somebody else's hands. But you can't take that with you.